Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, a top Republican ally of the president's, cited Mr. Morrison's comment about Colonel Vindman and criticism from Fiona Hill, his former boss at the National Security Council, to ask why the witness's concerns ought to be considered relevant. Any idea why they have those impressions? Mr. Jordan asked. Colonel Vindman, who apparently came prepared for the criticism, pulled out a copy of the performance evaluation Ms. Hill wrote about him in July, read aloud from it, and pressed ahead with his account of what transpired. Soft-spoken at first, Colonel Vindman grew more confident in addressing lawmakers who criticized him as the hearing went on. Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please. He instructed the committee's top Republican representative, Devin Nunes of California, after Mr. Nunes addressed him as Mr. Vindman. In another exchange that touched on Colonel Vindman's loyalty to the United States, Steve Castor, the top Republican staff lawyer, asked him about three instances when Oleksandr Danilyuk, the director of Ukraine's National Security Council, had approached him with offers to become the country's defense minister. Colonel Vindman confirmed the officers and testified that he repeatedly declined, dismissing the idea out of hand in reporting the approaches to his superiors and to counterintelligence officials. "Every single time I dismissed it," he said, adding, "I'm an American. I came here when I was a toddler." Mr. Danilyuk himself said Tuesday that the offer was not a serious one. Democrats fumed, accusing Republicans of sliming a patriot because he had a politically inconvenient story to tell. "They've accused you of espionage and dual loyalty," said Representative Jim Hines, Democrat of Connecticut. "The 3 minutes we asked about the offer making you Minister of Defense, that may have been cloaked in a Brooks Brothers suit, but that was designed exclusively to give the right-wing media an opening to questioning your loyalties." Democrats also continued to push back against what they saw as efforts by Republicans to tease out the name or information about the whistleblower, whose account of the July 25 call helped lead to the impeachment inquiry. Democrats sought throughout both hearings to redirect attention back to actions by Mr. Trump, who they said withheld the $391 million in assistance earmarked for Ukraine and a coveted White House meeting to get the political advantages he thought Ukraine could deliver him. It may be too early to fully know the effect the hearings are having on public opinion. Television ratings and opinion polls released recent days suggest that public engagement has so far fallen short not only of hearings at the height of Watergate and the impeachment of President Bill Clinton, but of earlier blockbuster Trump-era congressional hearings. But it is harder to measure the reach of proceedings online and on social media. And after 3 long days of public testimony, House Republicans appeared to be holding together in Mr. Trump's corner, either unconvinced his behavior was as the witness described, or unconvinced that it warranted a remedy as drastic as impeachment. "An impeachment inquiry is supposed to be clear," said Representative John Ratcliffe, Republican of Texas. "It's supposed to be obvious. It's supposed to be overwhelming and compelling. If two people on the call disagree honestly about whether or not there was a demand and whether or not anything should be reported on a call, that is not a clear and compelling basis to undo 63 million votes and remove a president from office."